Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One thing about football, though, that is not so fun is talking about the brain disease that was found in Aaron Hernandez. He, of course, we mentioned earlier, was convicted of murder, then hung himself in his jail cell. And the doctors are saying that they have never found damage to the brain as severe from CTE as they did in Aaron Hernandez and somebody that young. Dr. Greg Stewart joins us momentarily. Phyllis, New Orleans, hi, you're on WWE.
Hi, Tommy.
Hey.
How are you this morning?
Good, and you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Quite welcome.
I was calling in reference to Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of evidence showing that, you know, the hits to the brain, to the head, through football and some other sports possibly, you know, cause a lot of brain damage. However, I'm just commenting on Aaron Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he only played in the NFL 3 years. So he really played in college longer, possibly high school, middle school as a little boy. So how can you say that it came from his, you know, NFL career?
You know what? Let me tell you something, Phyllis. I could not have paid you to set up the introduction to Dr. Greg Stewart any better than you just did. Thank you for calling. Keep listening, because now Dr. Greg Stewart joins us, co-director of the Sports Medicine Program at the Tulane School of Medicine. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, sir. Thank you. So you heard what Phyllis said, and I know you can't comment, I guess, specifically on Aaron Hernandez, but in terms of CTE, did what she say kind of prove the case with football being dangerous at all levels, Phyllis? And does the is there data to back any of that up?
Well, I think that I do agree with you. I don't think we could have set this up any better than her call
mm-hmm.
and question. I think there are two things to go into. First off, I'm a believer. So we're going to talk about other aspects of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. I've seen it. I believe it exists. But I think there are a couple of things. One is that this is not just a football thing. I think we need to keep that in mind, that concussions, you know, NFL has deep pockets. They've been at the forefront of all of this. But, you know, the number one sport with concussions is women's ice hockey. Has more concussions per player than any other sport.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer's a problem, these other things. And I think to Phyllis's comment, I think that it's very important. Let's take CTE, take a step back, and let's look at people who have heart attacks. Not everybody has heart attacks, but we know that things like blood pressure, diabetes, elevated cholesterol, exercise or not, whether you smoke, genetics, all of these things come into play, and you can't say that people who have a heart attack or a stroke or cancer, that there's one thing that they did or didn't do that has caused that. And I think that we have to keep in mind that that's the exact same thing that we're dealing with in CTE. We don't know enough with this. Why is it that we don't see all of these people who have played football, maybe even for just a few years, that are having significant problems in their 20s or 30s. When we've gone at the Boston University, where Dr. McKee is, where they did this, the autopsy, when they found CTE in the brain of a 21-year-old college football player who had committed suicide, I think we all sat back at that point and said, well, if it is happening that early, we should have an epidemic of former high school football players committing suicide. And we don't. So there's something else that's going on. We're very early in our study of this and trying to understand what happens and what comes together with regard to CTE. Yes, getting hit in the head, having concussions, seems to be kind of that central theme with it. But we don't know whether you or I way if we had the same things would develop CTE long term. I think that at some point we'll have some tests. Right now you can only diagnose it after death, once at autopsy. And we're starting a brain bank at Tulane looking at this. You need normal brains and normal people who haven't had these problems in order to really be able to study these types of things. But we're starting to look at that and try to understand what all goes into the development of CTE.
Talking about a story, the result of Aaron Hernandez's autopsy and, I guess, study of his brain showed that he had level 3 CTE, which is uncommon for a person his age or that had 3 years of experience in the NFL. And our guest, Dr. Greg Stewart, co-director of the sports medicine program at the Tulane School of Medicine. So, doctor, let me ask you a couple of questions. When it comes to the behavior manifesting itself, is there a constant in terms of if you have X amount of, I think they call it protein tau, is that it?
Yes, that's it.
That builds up in the brain. Any correlation between the amount of that and the acting out or the behavior by the person involved? Or, for example, can you have the same level as I have, but yet we act completely differently?
At this point, I don't think we have a good understanding of that. I think that there, since the only way you can go and tell whether someone has this is after someone dies, then that means that there are a lot of people who have not had problems, who have not donated their brains. We don't know how much tau they may have had built up in their brains. Mm-hmm. So we don't have a good idea. We do think that the more tau and the more degeneration that occurs, the worse the problems are, whether it's thinking, whether it's behavior, all of the above on this. But, you know, Tom, one of the things that's been real interesting, and we've got a program where former NFL players come down and see us, and we've seen over 300-plus former players come and see us. And when we first started this program that's run through the NFL Players Association, through the Trust, we thought that was going to be a post-concussion brain injury program. And what we found is that it is transition and mental health issues, that it is not necessarily traumatic brain injury that's taking place.
Wow. It would be other factors then causing the bizarre behavior or different behavior?
It could be. One of the things that we've seen with this is that these are guys who have identified themselves as athletes since the age of 5 to 8. And now they play until they're 28 to 35, so vast majority of their lives. And all of a sudden, they are no longer, and like in a split second for most of them, no longer a professional football player. And they are at the top of their game. They are in the NFL. And I don't think many people would argue that in the world, the NFL is probably the premier league of, or at least up there, from an athletic standpoint. And so you're on top of the world, and now all of a sudden at the age of 28 to 35, you have to re-identify who you are. Most of these guys, interestingly enough, are visual learners. They learn by looking and seeing things, not like a lot of us do that learn by listening and hearing things. And their visual skills are better than their verbal and listening skills, and now they get dumped into a world where that's how we all function. This is radio. I mean, no one's looking and seeing what's going on in the radio. They're hearing what's happening. And a lot of these guys do much better at seeing things. So it becomes, not only are we transitioning from a livelihood and a self-identification into having to refigure that, but we're now putting them in a world that they're not familiar with and had trouble to begin with in functioning in. So I think there's a lot of other issues that develop from a behavioral standpoint that it's very difficult for a lot of people to understand. Everyone looks at these guys and they're making millions of dollars and they've got everything they could possibly want. And that's not the case.
Doctor, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time and the new perspective you've given me and hopefully all the listeners on this, and I hope you come back.
Thank you. Anytime, Tommy.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Greg Stewart, co-director of the Sports Medicine Program at the Tulane School of Medicine.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.